Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for the opportunity to minister to you. We cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. We lay everything at your feet, Master. We ask for your forgiveness in every area where we've offended you. Wash our spirit, soul, and body, and flesh with the blood of Christ. Our imaginations and our emotions with the blood of Christ. So we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and teach us, to empower us, to bring freedom and deliverance. As your word goes forth to each and every one here, that by the stripes of Jesus, that you not only be made whole, but you come to the truth, practice the truth, and bring glory to his name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Grab your swords for a moment, please. How many of y'all, God's on the move? Always is, isn't he? Ron, we're doing a search and rescue. The Lord's the pilot of the search and rescue team. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians 13? 1 Corinthians 13. I want to welcome everyone that's new out here. God bless you. And if you need to share a Bible with someone, you're more than welcome to. And if they won't share it with you, take it from them. And we'll forgive you. 1 Corinthians 13. Hey, the Bible says take it by force, right? That's called a Holy Ghost stick up. Oh, take the heavenlies by force. Okay. And verse 13, or verse 3, chapter 13. Is everybody there? And though I what? Bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me what? Nothing. So it's got to be done in what? Love. Now the Bible says, the Lord says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So love is a choice, isn't it? I want to share with you that love is a choice of obedience. If you love me, you'll obey me, he says. Now he gives us some of the examples of love. Love what? Suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's a choice, isn't it? That's love. Love never what? Fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away in due time. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as else I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now I want to share something that's important here, because it talks about not only doing works, because it says bestowing to the poor and helping and doing service, but it must be done in love. That means it must be done in obedience. Anything that's not done in obedience is not accounted to you. Well, I cast out a devil the other day. Did the Lord tell you to? Does everybody understand that? Now, there are things that are brought to us that have to be done immediately, but we know that God sets it up. Everything must be done in obedience to the voice of God. Everyone understand that? To the what? To the voice of God. And he says, love. Now, he's doing a tremendous quick work in his people. He's bringing us from childish things into maturity. From childish things into maturity. He's doing a quick work. And this is going to bring us from not only, because, see, many people's relationship with the Lord is on a need relationship. But he wants to bring us from a childish, immature relationship of need to a mature relationship of service and obedience. Has everybody got it? Everybody okay? Praise God. So love is a choice. Now, joy is the emotion of love. It's like the fruit of love. Because when you're in love, you're in joy. When there is true love, there is joy. That means that's something that you must maintain all the time. Joy. We are coming from a childish arena to a mature arena where there is service, but it's service in joy because there is a love relationship with the King of Glory, not a need relationship. It's not always, now, Lord, I need this and I need that. And I come to you because I need this. No, you come to him now because you serve him. But you don't serve him because there's a reward. You serve him because you love him. And the greatest joy that you could have is to know that you're pleasing your Father. Go to James 1. How many of y'all want fullness of joy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 in verse 2. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? My brethren, count it what? All joy when you fall into various trials. So you are going to fall into various trials. What's he saying? Be mature. Come on, get mature. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete in what? Lacking nothing. See, trials mold us into his image and likeness. It brings us out of an area of childish arena to a more mature arena. Now, we know that when we were childish, we always are in need. But a child is always in need, isn't it? Needs to be fed, it needs this, it needs that, it needs clothing, you know. Hallelujah. We got confirmation over there. An immature person will run and grumble and complain and will always maintain a lack because it's always in need. A mature person will count a joy with the understanding that the Lord knows and sees the trials, because the mature individual knows that they're allowing God to mold them and test them, because there's always a testing before the blessing. But a childish one is carnal, undisciplined, selfish, rebellious. It's always held in bondages and always needs. And, of course, you can't trust an immature individual, so they're untrustworthy. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us. But he's trying to get us from a place, from childish ways, to a mature way. A child wants to grow and learn, but hasn't reached it yet. An immature individual is one that refuses to grow. They think they've made it. They are prideful, thinking they know it all. But they're always in constant need of attention and recognition. That is immature. So we go from an individual that is from childish ways into an area where he begins to mature, but he has to hit immaturity before he can mature. And there are people who've matured and gone back to immaturity. They've gone backwards instead of forward. There was an individual that you could have counted on showing up and doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden, you can't. And it's like, man, how could that person go from maturity to immaturity? Because they make the choice. They do not maintain the joy of the Lord. They do not maintain the fullness of the joy of God. It is time again to grow up. God is going to do a quick work. He wants us to come to a place of a relationship with him, not of need, but of love. Not of need, but of love. Turn to Psalm 16. You know, we've got to come to a realization sometimes that God chose us. We didn't choose him. But after he chose us, then we choose him because of the wonderful things he's done. You'll come to an area of relationship of love with him, not because of what he's done, but the reality of who he is. And that's different. See, because of individuals that's still in relationship of what he has done is because the relationship is associated with need and not love. And love is a choice. And where there is true love, love is obedience, and there is joy. In Psalm 16 and verse 7, would you read it with me? I will what? Bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night. In other words, not only did you get the counsel, and you are glad, but you accepted it, received it, and did it. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Oh, hallelujah. See, an individual that has a true love relationship with the Lord is always before them. No matter what they do, they know that the Lord is standing before them. So choices are made on a decision that I love you, Lord, and I'm going to obey you. So I'm making the choice to love you, and my decision is making the right choice to love you. And in that decision that you make, joy comes because you know you're pleasing him. In verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices, my flesh also rests in hope. For you will not leave me in Sheol, which is hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. See, there's the fullness of joy is where? In his presence. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Well, man, that's where we should be. That's where we want. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the what? Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and melodies in your heart. You know, if you're waking up in the morning without a psalm and a melody, you ain't filled. You should be waking up every morning with a psalm and melody in your heart, praising him. When you wake up, there's a song running in you. There's a psalm running in you. There's a scripture running in you. And not the pancake. Not the scrambled eggs. Hello. Not the biscuits and gravy. But there should be a psalm running in. Man, there's a song running in your spirit every morning you wake up. If you're really going after the Lord with all of your heart. See, there are many people who have been believers for a while who've gone from maturity to immaturity. And the reason for that is because they're no longer seeking the Lord with all of their heart. They just do the motions. And they don't go after him. And I'll tell you, I know it grieves the Lord because he says, don't lose your first love. He tells us you've lost your first love and get back to your first love and get back to your first works. Because love is obedience, isn't it? The presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Go to Nehemiah 8, verse 10. It's right after Ezra near Chronicles. Nehemiah, verse 8. So how do you get the fullness of joy? Get his what? Presence. See, we want to maintain the fullness of joy so that no matter what you're going through, you count it all joy. Nehemiah chapter 8. So if you're going through something, which everybody here is going through something, if you're not going through something, please come and see me after service. And I'll make sure you get something that you can go through. Everybody goes through something, and it doesn't stop. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a place of rest and love and joy and peace, but you still got to go through something. Why? Because God is constantly molding you. That's why he says, count it all joy. Not if you fall into a trial, but when. Well, when could be forever. It's like constant. So when you finish one trial, get ready for the next. And some of us have four or five of them going on at one time. But that's okay. You begin to learn how to choose your battles by being led by the Spirit of God and staying in the fullness of joy no matter what's going on. You won't be moved. You won't be jumping. You won't be a church hopper. You won't be a ministry hopper. You become a grasshopper. For some of you don't know that movie, you remember the... Never mind. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. He was obedient to his master. Let me tell you that. The grasshopper was obedient to his master. In verse 10, would you read it with me? Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. That's service, isn't it? For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. So if you're walking in the fullness of joy, you're walking in the strength of the Lord. You're not walking in your strength, you're walking in His strength. That's why it's so important we maintain in fellowship, in worship. That's why, the Father says, I seek those who worship me in truth and spirit. As you worship Him with all you've got, He touches you and changes you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Fullness of joy is in His presence. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. So what would be more of a witness, a miserable Christian or a joyful one? Amen. You know, people are looking at your attitude and motive. A joyful believer is the greatest witness there can be. A joyful witness. Yes. Man, why are you so joyful? Because I know who I am. And I am because He is. And I love Him and I make the choice to obey Him. Because my heart is the area of I want to please Him in everything I do, no matter what. And sometimes it takes a lot of waiting. Waiting is endurance and patience. Philippians 4, verse 4, what's it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He says always. Why? Because an individual that is touching maturity will always maintain an area of joyfulness. You know, you can be sick and miserable, but you can be joyful. You can feel like garbage, but you can be joyful. You can be weak, but see, in your weaknesses, when you are weak, then He is strong. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit will quicken you to the Scriptures because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. That the what? Lord is at hand. How? What greater witness is that? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. His presence is your strength. You know, He will cause us to make right choices. Now, an immature individual will always be anxious. That's why He says, rejoice always. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for what? Now, an immature individual will be anxious, so will a child. But you know, a child will receive more of a counsel than an immature person. An immature person will reject a counsel because of the spirit of rebellion and pride. Boy, he sure got quiet in here. Hallelujah. So it says, be anxious for nothing. Rejoice always. Go to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. We are going from need to service. We are going from childish to mature. And there's going to be a quick, quick work. So it means you're going to have to die real quick to yourself. Isaiah 29. Now, you may be mature in some areas, but in other areas, we may be childish. In some areas, you just may be immature. Why? Because you know it, but you rebel against it. You know, I know what I need to do, but I choose not to. That's an immature individual. And an immature individual cannot be trusted. They cannot be trusted. And Isaiah 29. And verse 19, would you read it with me? The humble also shall increase in their joy in the Lord. Oh, yeah. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to nothing. The scornful one is consumed. And all who watch for iniquity are cut off. Who make a man an offender by a word. And lay a snare for him who reproves in the gates. And turn aside the just by the empty words. See, the more you stay humble, God will increase your joy. Why? The only way joy is increased in your life is the presence of God. So the Bible says that God rejects the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So your humility will allow more increasing of joy. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And verse 15:22. Would you read it with me? So Samuel said, has the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now, the Bible says that we're called to be kings and priests. Now, in this, it is better to obey than sacrifice, right? Now, the Bible again says, if you love me, you'll obey me. So your obedience to the Lord is done by a choice, because your heart is to please him in every area. See, an immature individual always looking at what they sacrifice for God. Oh, what a sacrifice I made for you, Lord. Oh. An immature individual is always looking at the sacrifices they make for God instead of grabbing hold of the obedience unto death. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And the reason for this is they cannot maintain the fullness of joy because they can't maintain the fullness of God's presence. They begin to slip back and take things commonly. They no longer seek and fight for his presence. They begin to backslide spiritually and don't even know it. Go to Luke 10. This is the difference between a wise virgin and a foolish virgin, which we've been talking about a lot lately. In Luke 10. See, an immature person will rejoice over their works instead of rejoice in his presence. They get joy out of what they do instead of who they serve. That's why so many people need to do something, because they're looking for joy. But they're looking for joy in what they do instead of who they serve. And Luke 10, in verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Hallelujah. These guys are out casting out demons. They were having a good time. They were joyful. Yeah, praise God. All right. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in where? In heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the what? In the spirit, and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Wow. See, so there are individuals that have gone from the area of mature to immaturity, and they have more joy in their works than in his presence and who they serve. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we must be careful, because this is a deceptive move by the enemy to bring an individual into immaturity where they have joy in the works instead of joy in the Lord. In other words, we have joy that we please him. We have joy because he accepted, we obeyed. That's our joy. The fullness of joy is in his presence, not in works. Matthew 7 and verse 20. What does it say? Therefore, by their fruits you will what? Know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who what? Practice lawlessness. Why? Because they found more joy in the works instead of the Lord. They were not obedient. They were practicing lawlessness. They were not obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice. If you love him, you'll obey him. I want to share with you that there are many individuals that are out there doing all kinds of works for God. You know, just because God has anointed us, just because God has opened doors for areas, he's given us the authority over all things to cast out devils, it doesn't mean he trusts you. He'll use anyone at any time and anywhere to rescue souls. You'll know the individual by the fruit, not by the works. You can have a miracle service and all kinds of people could be getting miraculously saved and all kinds of other things happening, and God still can't trust you. It's a terrible place to be when God is using you, but he can't trust you. Do you understand? And he wants to get us to a place of maturity because he can trust the mature, but he can't trust the immature. And you know he can't trust a child, but it doesn't mean he doesn't love us. He's trying to get us to another place where there is maturity in all acts, in every area of our life, we are mature. So he can trust you and myself to make decisions according to his will. Because there's times when God will not answer you. He's expecting you to do the right thing. He's expecting that you know what to do. We are to be faithful stewards. The greatest joy that we can have is to know that we've pleased him and obeyed him. Remember, there are many people out there doing works, but God cannot trust them, because they're still immature. Is everybody okay? In Matthew 25. So we must maintain the joy of the Lord, and by being filled with his spirit, so we can go from a place of need to service. But in this service, there is obedience. In other words, you're serving because you're obeying. You're not serving to have a fulfillment of joy. You're serving in obedience, that your joy is coming because you know you're pleasing him. In Matthew 25, is everybody there? And the Bible tells us, submit to God and resist the devil, right? In verse 21, would you read it with me? This is what we want to hear. And his Lord said to him, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to see these three things. He says, well done. In other words, you did it correctly. My good, because you obeyed me. My faithful, because you earned my trust. Servant, well done. Good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter in the joy of your Lord. Has everybody got it? Got to stay filled. Maintain the fullness of his joy by being filled with his presence. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength no matter what you're going through. Your testings right now are maturing you. You are in need of endurance in every area. Need of endurance. But I'm going to tell you that the enemy is going to do every kind of thing he can to get you out. He'll make things look wonderful and whatever. You know, yesterday we went to an event, and it was a car and bike show. And it was powerful. There wasn't a real lot of people there, but there were a lot of heathens there, I can tell you that. And they were giving free beer away. Hallelujah. Well, we were giving free Jesus away, you know. He paid the price. And so when we got there, our focus was to hand out flyers and information about our car and bike show that's coming up and, you know, do a little networking and so forth. And when I got there, I thought, okay, well, now I was quick and to enter the bike into the contest. And I said, well, how much is it? And he said, nothing. I said, well, what do I got to lose? Praise God. So one of the we got to talk to people, and people were coming by looking at, and the bike itself, of course, saying Christ the King, was a witness in itself. We didn't have to do too much. We were watching people come up, look at the bike, read it, and go to the back of it, and it said, I'll be back, Jesus. It's like, you know, why they're walking around with a beer in their hand. So the conviction was, I mean, you could just see the conviction oozing off the bike to people, you know. But they couldn't help but be drawn to the bike. And as they were watching it, we were handing out information and so forth and whatever. And then this guy came up and he said, who owns the bike? And of course, we told him Jesus owns the bike. And so he wanted to do an interview with for the place there or magazine or something. I don't know. So he says, can I ask you a couple questions and film? And I said, sure, go ahead. And he says, so you know, who made the bike? This and that. Of course, we told him Jesus. And I share with him that the Lord lets me ride it. And so I grabbed him. And I was this big guy. So I grabbed him and I said, yes, Christ the King. I said, but you see what the back says? It says, I'll be back, Jesus. And he says, well, this is a Jesus bike, this, that, and ever. And he goes, obviously, Jesus is coming back soon because this guy wouldn't have grabbed me the way he did and get away with it. And so, you know, we got to share with people what our heart's at and so forth. And one of the guys that was the judge, you know, they were supposed to do the judging at a certain time. And one of the guys that was a judge, and there were some nice bikes out there and everything. And he said, he came up to us and he said to us, he said, man, you missed it by this much. He said, but a lot of these other people had a lot of money in their bikes. And I just said, well, praise God. Now, you got to understand, here I have this bike, and I had a loose battery terminal, so my battery went dead. So I got the Christ the King bike that I can't even start. And Lord, you're killing me. And I'm enduring, right? So, you know, we were out there all day and so forth. It was about 3:30. They were supposed to do the judging about 3:30, and so I was like, man. And the girls were out there from the house, and I felt bad that they were out there all day long, you know. And then the guy comes up to us and tells us, you know, well, you almost made it. So in other words, I just thought, well, okay, Lord, you're letting me know ahead of time that we're not going to get anything. But it's okay. We got out here and we planted seeds, and it was good. And I'm just going to endure and give you glory and honor and praise no matter what. Well, so I said to the girls, you know, you guys can go home because I felt bad, you know. And so they left and went home, and all of a sudden in about 15, then the guy gets on the mic and says, okay, we're going to have the event. We're going to tell all about the prize. And I thought, well, man, I wonder who won first place. And then they were giving out these other prizes where people didn't win first or second or third place. So I figured, well, we might as well hang out to see what happens. And I can't interrupt anybody right now to come over and get a jump on my bike because everybody's interested in the rewards now, you know. So I figured, well, okay, we'll endure. And I have my wife, who I was supposed to meet for dinner. So, you know, I was enduring. So was my wife. And so they handed out some things and so forth. And I'm thinking, man, you know, I guess there's a few nice bikes here, you know. And so the guy goes, well, we're going to do this in reverse. And he starts with the third runner-up. And they call this number out, and it's this guy's bike. And he goes up, and he gets a $250 thing and a trophy. And then they did the second runner-up, and he got $500 and so forth. And then they went to somewhere else. And then we're thinking, well, I guess that one guy won the first prize, you know, so I didn't think anything of it. And then they started talking about other things. And so, you know, I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I can get some time now to get somebody to get over here and get me a jump. All of a sudden, they said number 25, which was the bike. I'm like, what? Yo, 25, where's Guy, they're saying. I said, right here, what's up? You won first place. I'm like, what? $1,000 gift certificate in first place. And it blew my mind. But the Lord shared with me, because you endure. You got to endure no matter what. Well, he calls me endure. I couldn't go anywhere. You know? See, he'll cause you to endure, won't he? And so then the opportunity was then to, and the guy was saying, yes, the woman with Christ the King. And I mean, he's telling us all these people, you got to be all the people hanging around. Yeah. You know, Christ the King and Jesus is coming back, he says, on the back, he says. So they called me up there and we gave all glory and honor and praise to the Lord and so forth. But it was the area of enduring, and that he'll even cause you to endure when you don't even know. I was willing to accept whatever he had. I was going to maintain the joy of the Lord whether we won anything or not, because the glory was for him. No matter what, I was at peace and content. But then he blew my socks off. And see, there's an area where we've got to stay filled with God's presence no matter what's going on. Because you can't endure without the fullness of joy. And in that is the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we're not out doing works to get joy in what we do. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing to be joyful of what you do, but that's not your fulfillment. The true joy of fulfillment is from knowing him and knowing that you please him. The joy is not in this little trophy here, but I'm going to show it to you anyways. The joy is not in the trophy. The joy is that it pleased him that we were obedient to go there, because I didn't feel like going. But he made me. He caused me to go. Because when I got up yesterday morning, I was sick as a dog. But he caused me to go. Go. It's an opportunity to witness. Okay. And we did. And we really didn't have to say a lot. Like I said, the bike witnessed right there. There was the message. Anybody who looked at that bike needed to repent. Because the conviction that was coming off the mic. But again, I want to share with you the importance on the fullness of joy is to maintain his presence and to do his will and not our own. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It was a sacrifice of getting up and going and doing what I had to do. But I wasn't counting the sacrifice. I'm not laying that sacrifice to God. The only sacrifice we're to lay to God is the sacrifice of praise. That's to deny yourself and worship him. That's the one he accepts. He doesn't accept anything else but the sacrifice of praise. And when he accepts the sacrifice of praise, he releases his presence, which brings the fullness of joy. So fight. Endure. Don't be complacent. Don't compromise your worship to the King. Don't be distracted. Maintain the fullness of joy in the presence of God, and you will endure. And you'll count everything joy no matter what you're going through, while everybody else is tormented. That will be your witness in these last days, to maintain the joy of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We are honored and blessed, Master. Again, we commit to you all of our circumstances and our trials, and we repent for not counting them joy. knowing that they're working on our behalf, that we may be more in your image and likeness. Lord, forgive us and have mercy upon us and restore us to our first love, who is you, that we can do the first works that please you and know that we have joy in pleasing you. I pray an impartation to each and every one here today, Lord, in the area of a love relationship and not a need relationship. Come from a childish and immature state to a mature state. Come from an area of need to service. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.